This is the beginning of class 6.
Sāshī bhūkī chūshīn ne tōshāṁ Vīrā vīnshī nyamdē nyampādī Sāngē shindū mitte uvāgī Jokū nāmbā shimbā jūpāshū Sangye chadam sangye chonama Chanchu badu dagni kapsu chi Dagi chunyen dipe sunam ki Drola penche sangye chupasho Sangye chadam sangye chonama
technique. We're using a different book now because Jetsun Kapa doesn't go into much detail. So we use Pabonka's Rangu, Kyabde Pabonka's Rangu, which is liberation in our hands. So, and you're just still not going to get a reading, okay? Sorry, I'm just too busy. I have it in Tibetan. I didn't have time to translate it, but I will because it's really useful. And I'd rather have that you have all the whole thing of what I'm saying is in there. And I remember, you know, when they taught me this in Dharamsala 20 years ago, you know, I followed a lot of it for a long time and misunderstanding a few points, and it was, you know, bad. So I think it's better if you have the original text, you know, and then anything you misheard from me or I...
Like all day for months, how long should you...
I think an hour is enough, but I didn't want to...
No, but I mean like...
If you do it a year, an hour, it a lot depends on your soksak jibjang, you know, your karmic situation at that time. If you're very good at your morality, confessing, cleaning yourself all the time, we're doing bad deeds every day. If you're really seriously trying to improve those every day, then I'd say in a year you could have some nice, you know. Even 6 months, I think you would develop some deep concentration. And I think even sooner, like 3 months, you would start to notice a change in your ability to concentrate.
If you're doing the confessions and everything every day.
Yeah, and I can't emphasize enough, if you don't do those and you don't find yourself advancing, well, that's the reason, you know. And you will advance if you do those. And it's just a fact of life, you know. Just try it. You know, do it like that.
What about if you confess, like, during the day? I mean, you realize you did something.
Atishar carried a stupa around with him. I mean, it wasn't easy. It was like that big, you know. And when a stupa is like a little, you know, do it like that.
What about if you confess, like, during the day? I mean, you realize you did something.
Atishar carried a stupa around with him. I mean, it wasn't easy. It was like that big, you know. And when a stupa is like a little relic. Reliquary where you hold some lamas. And he would ride from Lhasa to Shigatse on a horse, and when he had a bad thought, he would get off the horse and do a confession on the spot. And it's, you know, disciples would be standing there ready for, you know. And so that's not, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, you do have to really, like, I mean, when you say confession, you don't mean that the Catholic says you go. You think about that, what you did or what you thought of.
Those
not
four
very
things
good.
We talked about. Yeah. The main thing is to get some kind of, they call it domsem. Domsem means brand new. And if it does, then maybe you have to find another one. It's hard. It's not easy. Easy to say, but hard, you know, it's hard to leave it and go to another one. Okay. We are on the third problem. Fourth problem. We finished preparation for meditation. We finished the environment for meditation. We finished the physical posture for meditation. And then we're on the mental technique. And we had how many problems would come up?
Three.
Wait. Oh, so far we had three.
One.
There will be five total. Okay? And there'll be eight antidotes to them. So we're now on to number four. Okay? And that's Dumichepa. By the way, I didn't have it, but there's a chart. I don't know if some of you have seen it. An elephant and a monkey.
Mm-hmm. I have.
It's a path up to these through these mental stages, and it's a picture. It's a woodblock carving, an old one. It's very good. I'll try to find it somewhere.
I have a book. You want me to?
You have a one of those?
I got it from Nangal Monastery.
Oh, fine. Maybe we can get it reproduced. If you can loan it to me, we'll talk about that. Okay. So Dumichepa means not taking action, and this applies to her note. It means, what was the last problem we had? It was agitation and dullness. And what was the antidote?
Watchfulness.
Watchfulness. So that doesn't imply anything about doing anything about it yet. So watchfulness catches it. Okay. Chingu ni occur. Watchfulness catches it. But then it's a fault if you
don't
do anything. Okay. All right. So in number three, your mind either got distracted to an object of what?
Normally
a pleasant object. Which doesn't mean, you know, you're thinking of some sexy girl or something like that. It means most of the thoughts you have during the day are what I'm going to do next, what I should do right now, you know, where am I going to go tonight. Those are all desire thoughts, really, when you boil it down. And that's the fourth problem of meditation. It's not taking any action. Okay. Its antidote is, guess what?
Taking
yeah, what's meaning?
Not,
right? So what do you guess?
Do
chapa.
Forgetting.
We're on to H, I think, right?
G.
G?
Yes.
Yes.
No, F.
Let's see, the first one had four, right?
Mm-hmm.
One had
G now.
Two had E, three had F, four has G, right? Do chepa means doing something. What you do about agitation and what you do about dullness, are they the same thing? Would you do the same thing for both?
No.
Obviously not. So first we're going to talk about the nastiest one, which is real nice and it's quiet and you might be getting some good sensations in your body, but your mind is just blank or dull. Not blank, but it's dark.
And even if I could say something, that's even a more pleasant state than our normal discursive thoughts.
Possibly.
Random thoughts.
Yeah. So, possibly. And also, but yeah,
you know, relative to how we normally are thinking and frantic, you know, that seems like.
Oh, it is. I think it's sort of like if you've ever been stoned on marijuana or a little bit drunk, or it's kind of like that. I think it's kind of like a stupid. It's a kind of a stupid state. So that's the most dangerous one. And the antidotes are. So don't forget, we're talking about half of it now, half of the problem, which is chingwa. And that's antidote of that is jimba. I can't think of one English word, but it means tightening up your concentration. Tightening up your concentration.
Michael, is it the same as
touching with trauma?
We're talking about two different things now, and I'll answer that. I'll quote. Okay, he says, and I like this. I think this might help you. Chingwa trauma ni sem shumbe yin xing ching shum ni kang che gan gyo chik de zena, which means chingwa trauma. This is dullness. This is plain dullness, right? Chingwa trauma, which I didn't write up here, chingwa trauma is that subtle dullness. In plain dullness, you've lost something, but you haven't lost something else. What is that?
You've lost intensity.
You have fixation, but
no clarity.
No clarity.
In plain dullness, you're fixed on the object, but it's totally, it's not clear in your mind at all. And in the subtle form is more losing the clarity.
Same antidote for the subtle dullness?
We're going to talk about it.
Is Shishin then the antidote for both of
those? It's not really the antidote, and as that's the point that Ariel made. It's more the thing that yells, "Hey!"
It's the alarm.
Yeah, it's the watch. They call it Sopa in Tibet. Sopa means a guard, a watchman, the person who is that?
Gatekeeper.
In India, they have this guy, they still have a guy, who walks around all night long, and he has a staff, and he bangs it on the ground. You know, all the people in the neighborhood hire this guy. He walks around all night, and he bangs this stick on the ground, and you hear him. And it's so, you know he's doing his job. And, you know, thieves run away, you know. They hear him coming, and they run away. They keep the thieves out of the rich neighborhoods in New Delhi, you know. So that's his job is only to yell. Okay, and Ariel's right in that sense. He's not stopping. It's not the antidote for the... right? Okay. But as you get dullness, or after you've had it for half hour, you dimba. Okay? You dimba. You tighten up on the object. Now, how do you do that? He's got a whole series of advice here that's good.
Okay. Is dimba, is that the correction?
For this problem.
Okay.
And it's half of this, which is taking action.
Okay.
The problem is not doing anything when you notice those things coming up.
Okay.
The correction is to start concentrating better on the object. Yeah.
Why isn't that G, G or something instead of 4A?
It should be G1.
I'm sorry, it should be G1. He's right. That's a good...
Chingwa do mi jepa do jepa drimpa. That's the
say again.
Right, that's the order. First you get chingwa.
Yeah, let's suppose you've got chingwa. Uh-huh. Then you do sheshin, which is hey, I got dullness. You notice it. Then you do
do jepa.
Do jepa in the form of drimpa.
Right.
Okay. You notice yourself getting dull. The notice is the sheshin. He yells, hey, you're sliding into dullness. That was already last week. Now, what do? You concentrate. You tighten up your concentration.
So G also, it comes after 3 also then, because when the guard sounds the alarm, then you have to...
Well, then the guys run out of their houses and beat up the thief. That's Dujepa. Dujepa is the guys coming out to take action. It's the soldiers waking up after the... what do you call it in an army? The sentry yell.
So how do you tighten up your concentration?
We're just about to talk about it. But I want to make sure everybody's got still with me, okay? Still okay? Anyone confused? No?
But we're not talking about subtle...
The scriptures. And then you've got, like, adjunct professors who, like, they'll be a specialist in Abhidharma. Let's say your scripture teacher is not a specialist in Abhidharma. Then he'll say, okay, for Abhidharma, I want you to go to this other teacher and study with him. So if you had a question about this, you'd normally go to your scripture teacher and ask him. And it's a very close relationship. It's very, very nice. And it's a lifetime relationship. You know, it's permanent. You know.
Hope you get along.
Yeah.
So, Michael, either of those teachers or neither of those teachers could become your root teacher, right?
Well, I'd say oftentimes it's your house teacher, in a way. But oftentimes it's your scripture teacher. But it may not be either one, really.
I mean, most of the time...
I'd say most often it's your... If you ask them, I think it'd be 50-50 split between your house teacher and your... The house teacher might be in charge of 30 young men, so he... You might feel closer to your scripture teacher in that place. In that case.
Sorry, that sentence, the cause of what is depression?
He says Shumba contributes to Chinwa. Okay. Shumba meaning some kind of, what did I say? Depression?
Loss of confidence.
Loss of confidence, really. And he says that really contributes to dullness. You don't have to know that. I didn't want to write it down. Okay? And he says, what should you do then? You have to do something to restore your I don't know what you call it in English. It's a real hard word in Tibetan. It's called Sangdopa. And Sangdopa means to uplift yourself. We call it uplift. Okay? It means to think about something that's going to bring your mind back up. Okay? He says, so the second kind of Dimba is move your mind to something else which is going to uplift your mind. Yeah.
So does that mean something that you have an easier time with?
No, he's got several specific thoughts which will sanctify you, which will uplift you. Okay?
Sanctify.
That comes later.
Discouraged and encouraged?
Yeah, like that. Okay. Right. Sanctify is a... Well, you'll see some examples, okay? I'll give you his examples.
Mm-hmm. Number two, you just want us to concentrate on the clarity without the intensity.
Well, this problem, Chinwa, which is dullness, is some kind of disease of your clarity. Yeah. So this whole problem of Chinwa.
Number two, we're only concentrating on the clarity. We're not concentrating on the intensity. For number two.
Which number two do you mean? Oh, it's where. You're really given up on meditating on that object now. He's saying that your mind is so far down.
No, the one before shift to another object. Before that one.
Tighten concentration.
That was just trying to...
No, tighten concentration. And then number two was keep object in mind and concentrate on clarity.
No, that was just number one. Dharma circumstances. Okay. And that's the most powerful one.
So then you're no longer doing single point concentration?
You are, but you've changed the point.
So you're not really doing any analytical.
You've lost your original point of concentration.
But this is once you try to go to another object and you cannot.
This is where you've tried to tighten up on the object, you tried to make it clear, and it failed.
Then you went to another object.
Now you get rid of that object and you go to this object in order to bring your mind back up.
This is D2, it's D2, right?
So then it will be part of what you're
it's
saying.
It's a part of Dimba, really. It's a kind of tightening of the mind by trying to uplift the mind. All
the
kinds
same,
of tightening.
Is it the same topic?
Yeah, same topic.
This is also Dimba.
So when you move your
this
mind...
This is a kind of Dimba, yeah. It's under the category of Dimba, which means tightening it up.
It's like G2?
No, it's not. She asked that. That's the question she asked. Yeah, it is for us.
It's difficult for me to, it seems to be easier to understand the various problems and their corrections when you're talking about visualizing an object rather than analytical meditation.
I understand, but it's not true if you think about it.
No, I mean, I understand, but just in terms of what's
it's easier
simpler
to
determine whether
yeah.
an image is yeah. clear than yeah. it is whether an
yeah,
idea...
Yeah, well, maybe you're not... Don't forget, he said clarity doesn't refer to how clear the picture is. He said that very strongly. He said it refers to how clear your state of mind is.
Right.
How bright your mind
but
is.
But usually the two things are related.
How sharp your mind is. Oh, yeah, they're always... If your mind is dull, the object is dull, but not vice versa.
Because
with
the dullness, with an image, they talk about visualizing something. It's like turn on the lights, make it brighter.
That's gonna come.
Yeah, okay. Sorry.
And that's something. But when I say your mind get clearer, I don't mean, and a lot of people mistake it for some kind of lightness like that. It's not that. It's invisible. It's like water. And it's just like you're scuba diving in dirty water or you're scuba diving in clean water. You know, if you've ever scuba dived.
Deeper into your mind?
Yeah. I'm talking about the state of your mind and not the state of... I think a lot of people, when you say clarity, they think brightness in the sense of that light. It's not like that. It's that you're... It's more like clarity
more
like in the sense of...
Details? Sharpness?
No.
Sharpness?
No, it's the...
Alertness.
It's the alertness.
Well, it's sharp.
Of the mind.
Yeah, but I mean, we
not the details of, you see, of the, not details. It's the mental state of bright and bushy-tailed, you know. It's that. To concentrate on a series of thoughts, an analysis, is shamatha. Yeah. In the, when shamatha is linked with paktong, in the sense of the direct perception of emptiness, you will not have discursive thought. That you cannot have discursive thought, because discursive thought is what? Which one of the two truths? Which one of the two truths? It's relative truth. Oh. You cannot focus on a relative truth while you're perceiving emptiness directly. Only a Buddha can. Okay, any human being can't. So you can't have discursive thought. And as you get into yogic shamatha, yogic direct perception, there's a kind of perception called yogic perception, which is it's not discursive. And that you won't have discursive thought going on. But definitely up to that state, you have to have. Because you have to be thinking of the reasons why something is empty, which is what we covered in the last class. For those of you who are something we haven't studied yet, and we'll study it later.
Why is that good, particularly versus something else?
A lot of these, and you have to keep in mind, a lot of these are like, what's that kind of coffee there, the crystals? They're like freeze-dried tsoksak dipchang. They're like freeze-dried, concentrated virtue collectors. And there is no higher collector of virtue than to serve your lama correctly. There is no higher way to collect goodness than to serve your lama. So just meditating on it is already, it's almost like you're creating the karma on the spot to have a good, to go back to your object and be able to have clarity towards it.
So you're creating merit by meditating on this virtuous object, and when you take a break, you're still in a virtuous object?
Well, in the first place, you were trying to concentrate on this physical image, right? Mm-hmm. And now you are concentrating on, it's a discursive thought, and you're thinking about all the reasons why it's nice to, all the good things that can come out of being, of having a proper relation with him. Because if you don't, you'll never get anywhere, period. And that's the first step in the Lamrim. Of all the many stages that you go through, that's number one. Because if you don't have a relationship with some Lama like that, then you just, nothing will ever happen. It can't. And if you mess it up, your practice will not go well.
What about if your Lama is not a Buddha? And didn't you say...
Your Lama is always a Buddha. We'll prove it later. Okay. Right now you can't believe that. Right now you can't... and it doesn't matter whether he is or not. I'm talking about what your perception is, which is actually what he is.
Okay.
But that's another story.
What if you don't have a Lama, or if you consider the Dalai Lama your Lama, and
it's
how
fine.
Can you behave well to him when you never see him?
It's funny, you know, what is the structure of the Lamrim? And you heard it once now. You have to actually have it proven to you that it's useful. And then you'll want to do it. So right now, just leave it like mind on light. And it's very hard to think of what that means. But I think that's where you actually try to imagine some kind of brightness.
Like what, you know?
Yeah, but I hesitate to say it definitively. I'll ask Rinpoche. I don't feel comfortable with that. I remember me and Art struggling with this translation 15 years ago, and it's difficult. It means sink brightness. Now, what that is, I think it is, There are many meditations where you imagine white light in your body and things like that. I believe that's what it refers to. But I'd like to check it, okay? He says if you still have the problem, okay? If none of the above works, now we're talking almost like a third level of Dhimma, right? Okay. What was the first level of Dhimma? Broadly speaking.
Keeping back the clarity.
Yeah, you keep your mind on that object that you started with, and you just try to regenerate your clarity. You know, make it more clear to yourself. Which means, try to bring your mind up back up to a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed state. It doesn't mean to try to see the Buddha's fingers a little bit better. Mm. You're working on your mind, not on the object. Mm. You're trying to uplift your state of mind as you look at the object. So you don't give up the object, but you try to tune up your mind. By the way, he says, learning the art of tuning up your mind is much more important than learning the art of what's going to come next. After bringing down your mind. The next problem, we didn't even get to it yet. Okay. It's going to be how to tune your mind down.
It's going to be easier.
But he says the most common problem of meditation is dullness. Is where your mind has gone sunk. It's sunk too low. And now you're trying to bring it back up. You're trying to tune up your mind and bring it back to an alert state. So the first level of concentration is where you haven't gone too low and you can just tune it up a little bit and you're back to bright. You're back to alert. You want to turn that on?
No, kind of like the flame on the stove.
Yeah. You're just tuning it up a little bit.
Yeah.
By the way, he quotes the Buddha for this process. He says, think of yourself as a guitar string. You know? If you get too loose, you get flat. Tune it up a little bit. If you get too sharp, if you get too tight, you get sharp. These don't sound good. The Buddha said this, and he's talking about meditation. He says the process of meditation is like tuning an instrument. And it's constant tuning. You know, when you drive a car, you notice when you first drive, you keep your hands still, and then slowly the car goes this way, and slowly. And then you learn to keep going like this. And meditation is just like that. It's like tuning the thing. Then it gets a little flat. You tune it up. If you go too far, it gets a little sharp. And it's this constant practice of tuning it. It's like the small adjustments. When you watch somebody drive, they don't hold their arms still. They're always going like this, you know? Yeah.
Do you mean to say that the development of shamatha is like that, or that even after you've developed shamatha, it's still balancing
it? It's coming. It's coming.
Well,
I'm going to talk about it. I'll talk about that question. If I don't answer it by the end of the night, ask me again. Okay. All right? Okay. Yeah.
So how do you do that? I mean, you know, I thought it meant trying to see things.
Jhimma means tightening it up.
Yeah, but how do you do
that? Which means, oh, it's like, it's hard, you know. It's like telling someone, oh, try to be fresh while you're tired. It's exactly that. You know, it's where your mind has gone down, your alertness level has gone down. And sometimes you can return to your original alertness level just by trying to, just by thinking to. And he says, if that doesn't work, then how lucky it is to be alive, and some kind of brightness.
So those all were collectively G2.
Yeah.
Now we're on
G3. Yep.
Thank you.
By the way, another one he mentions is thinking about the good qualities of a Buddha. And we have to study those sometimes.
Oh, yeah, all that was part of G1, right?
Yeah, it's G1A, G1B.
Yeah.
You asked for it.
G1 has three parts now.
Yeah, we're on the third part of G1.
We're on G1C.
Yeah. You think about it. I mean, you don't have to ask this question if you think logically. Okay, the first attempt you make to tighten your mind back up is don't give up on the object. Keep the object and tune it up a little bit. Your mind. Your alertness level. And the whole things I just talked about were all, okay, when it gets so bad that it's not enough to tune up your alertness level, and you have to think of something else to uplift your mind and get you alert again. Now, let's say it's gotten really bad. None of those things work. He says, break the meditation. Get up. Okay. And he says, I mean, these are good for Tibet. Go stand in a cold place. In a cool place. Somewhere. I mean, go get some fresh air, basically.
York.
Go stand outside in the fear of getting mugged. Embrace you.
He says, go to some place where you can see. This word is beautiful in Tibetan. I can't think of it. American English. Go see some wide open places. Go look at some wide open places. Beautiful. And in Tibet, it would mean go to the Gyamo Valley, to the little mountain there, and look 20 miles off into the. You know, I guess you could go up to the Empire State Building. Some people, some lamas say, just go out and look at the sky. You know, I mean, that's just a big, something big that gets you out of yourself. Something expansive. That was his second suggestion. This, the third one I really like, and I'm really upset that no one taught me in the monastery, because later I saw people doing it, and I realized how good it was. And it's just pacing, walking back and forth.
The third one? Really?
Yeah.
The fourth one? Was this part of the stop meditation part?
Yeah, after you've given up on the meditation, after you've stood up. And in the monastery, I started to notice that a lot of the good geshes, you know, we have to memorize for 3 or 4 hours. I used to sit there with a book in front of me and try to memorize, and I would always doze off. And then I noticed that they walk like pretty far, you know, and then they're down like this, you know, like Napoleon, and then they're, you know, and they do that for hours, you know. And it's a way to keep fresh and keep your attention on something, and it's good for studying. And I've always done that. When I'm memorizing, I go and I just find a long place to go back and forth, and it works.
Instead of sitting and trying to sit
and try to look and get bored and doze off, this is great. It really works nice. I'm really upset someone didn't teach me, because I have spent 6, 7, 8 years trying to do it the other way. And I did it, but I always used to fall asleep. You know, now it's great. You know, you're getting some fresh air, you're moving, your body's moving, and you can keep your alertness up.
So, Michael, you're not suggesting we do all of these, just do one of them.
Pick the one that fits your constitution. And that's true about all of these things. Use common sense. Mm-hmm. Use common sense. If you live in an apartment like this, you can't pace very well. I tried it. It doesn't work.
It's the idea of just getting general.
Without an object, I can understand why you
He's just saying.
Pacing for memorizing, but pacing as a way of refreshing yourself doesn't. Is it really pacing?
Yeah. After you get up.
Okay. Right. Can you do two? For example, if you can do two, then you do two.
You can call this
the other half.
G2.
Yep, G2.
That's the donuts. Pick one.
What does the gupa mean?
Gupa is that, what did we call it? Agitation. I don't know if that's such a good word. I guess because of the literal meaning of it, it's okay, because it means like wild man. Nirgumi. Really, seriously. Jima was dullness, right? Two L's?
Yeah.
Kind of thing I take a point off for on your homework, did you notice?
Yes, I've been noticing that, Michael.
By the way, if you're about to get 100 and I find any misspelling, Shishin did what? Alertness said, hey!
The guard.
And then the troops come out and hubba. The action that you take is hubba. Loosen up.
Does that mean when you relax?
No, then it's what you said was the opposite.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Is it possible? What happens when you go agitated?
Is it
the
finger
tight?
Yeah, agitation means you're too tight.
Yes, thank you.
So the antidote, the correction, is lupa. By the way, if I ask you what's the correction for problem number 4, you're going to say taking action. If I say what actions do you take, you say, well, it depends on what the problem is. If the problem is dullness, you tighten up. If the problem is agitation, you loosen up. And the Buddha himself taught it. He called it apiwa. Apiwang is a Indian lute. By the way, what was one of the antidotes? What was one of the ways to tighten up your mind? Like if you wanted to up a medium drastic action.
So both of those are G2A then?
Yeah. G2B, please.
No, G2A.
G2A was lighten up on the object. Lose it up
G2.
On the object. But don't lose it.
Nope.
G2 was loosen up in general. All of these three are going to be kinds of loosening up, as we had three kinds of G1s. Tightening up. You all right?
Nope.
Okay. There were three kinds of tightening up. The first was what? Don't let go of the object. Tighten up on it. The second one was what?
Shift to another object.
Shift to another object, which, for example, benefit of serving your mama, etc. Mm-hmm. Third way of tightening up, get up, splash water on your face, whatever you want. Then, by the way, I forgot to say, after you splash water on your face, go back down to dry off. By the way, I'll mention here a very, very important instruction that I was always given and which is in this text and which I've seen in other texts. It's not related and not vice versa. It'll seem to flow then. And you just, when you sit down tomorrow, you're just picking up from today. Where you left off. That works. It works that way. If you do it same time every day. And don't quit after this course is finished.
Well, then how do you justify stopping the meditation and getting up when you're having problems?
Oh, but then what I'm saying is then sit back down.
Oh, go back.
Yeah, no, I forgot to mention that. So that's why I'm mentioning it. You know. Sit back down.
So what is the parallel on Rupa and loosening up? Under the parallel to shift to another object?
Death? Shift to another object, either death, or your death, or the sufferings of life.
Death, your death.
Yeah. You're approaching death, or the general lousiness of your existence, okay? Mm. You can't win, right? Nothing can go well here. Those things which go well will end. These classes, basic kind of dhimma. You were supposed to keep the object and do what? Tune up, right? Tune up alertness, something? These are all kinds of tightening up. I guess that's where Tom's getting confused, okay? These are all kinds of tightening. These three are all going to be different kinds of tightenings. Different levels of tightening, right? Hopefully, all you have to do is just be aware and tune up your alertness a little bit. If that doesn't work, what are you going to do? Shift your object to what? Yeah, uplift yourself with... The best one is, you know, I'm alive. In Dharma, okay? By the way, I mean, when you study the Lamrim more carefully, you'll realize that you're about one in a billion. You know, sentient being-wise. You're at the peak. You know, you may not think you're the CEO of General Electric, right? You're actually in a better condition. Now, this is what I meant, parallel. What are the parallels over here?
Loosen.
Yeah.
Alertness.
What are we going to call it? It's not really alertness at that point. It's almost...
Fixation.
Obsession or something? What's a good word for that?
Vexation.
I don't like any of these words.
Relaxed.
Too tight. But what's the name for the problem of?
Constricted.
Wound up.
Wound up. But it's some kind of word that means too concentrated on a point.
Constricted.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. That's pretty good. Loosen up. By the way, all these kinds are kinds of loosening. I'll call it constriction. I like constriction. It sounds like a problem, right? It sounds like constipation. You have to loosen. It's just similar, right? These are all kinds of loosening, just as these were all kinds of tightening. Okay. Shift the object to what? What's a good one?
Death or suffering.
Yeah, death. My death.
You're not going to die because we asked you not to die.
If my karma will cooperate. Okay. Go to the outside. This is why I said go to the outside and not get up, because what does go to the outside mean here?
Breath.
Start counting your breath. Yeah. Go back to counting your breath.
So when you're agitated, you don't ever stop your meditation, is that okay?
Yeah, it sounds like that. He doesn't say anything like... He doesn't say anything like get up or anything.
Because according to what you say...
I'm sorry, he does say, he says... Even if you do that and you're not able to get rid of your agitation, then for the time being, stop the meditation.
So then you do stop on a down note.
And he doesn't say anything else. Then he goes on to another subject. How do you count the breath? Which is one?
Out.
Yeah, that's not what we normally think in the West, you know. Out is one and in is two. I mean, out is half and out is first half and in is second half.
Why is it matter?
It's very important later, and I'll talk about it someday. It's the idea of bringing things into you. Okay. Never leave something by going out.
Yeah. I think this concept of constriction is, it seems to me that what's happening is that your tightness is not on the object. The tightness is kind of a general all-over tightness.
Of your body?
Of everything that can lead to, of the attention, of everything else, so that can lead to this sort of ping-ponging around and being hyper.
It's true in the sense that the result of being too constricted is that your mind wanders, and that's what gross kapha is. That's what gross agitation is. Yeah. It's the breeding ground for distraction. Or starting to think about, you know, what are you going to have for lunch? Or what are you going to do when you get up? That's like the most common one for me. I don't know about you guys. Because I'm always doing something.
Both of these, you should go back to meditation.
Yeah, he didn't state it, but when he says counting the breath, he's implying that you should go back.
So all of them go back to meditation.
So in the way that this mentally feels, this constriction, this agitation, how does that feel?
By the way, he says again in the text, he says, you know, I can't really, you have to have it happen to know what it's like. I think it's when you
it's all over, right?
That's it.
What?
The fifth problem was the last solution.
It turns into a problem.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it. Okay, just write it down. Problem number five is Dujepa.
Taking action.
Solution number eight is leave it alone. Don't take action.
Well, it's hum and ride along.
Kenny, what was his name in the factory?
Lauben.
Kenny Lauben used to say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What this means is, when you have taken action, you tuned it up or you loosened up, and it's going smooth, for God's sake, leave it. Okay, this is called tangyom sometimes. Tangyom means let it go, just let it cruise. Okay.
No.
The problem is taking action. The correction is. Don't take action. Leave it alone. Okay. Don't take action. So like you just flipped around the last two, okay? Is that all right? Got it? The classical writers at this point always say the same thing. It's very interesting. They say there were these early scholars, these early masters, who said, Phlegrab Gomra. Phlegrab Gomra means... but let's just say, perfect cruising is perfect meditation. Perfect loosening is perfect meditation. There was a saying in ancient Tibet, Phlegrab Gomra. And Jay Rinpoche gets indignant about it, which he did all the time. You know, he's trying to correct people. He says, then what happened was, that word spread around Tibet, and people were always going around saying, hey, just sit down and don't think about anything, you know, just let your mind cruise, watch your thoughts, label your thoughts, whatever, you know, just watch them go, you know, this is true meditation, you know, just leave it alone, let your mind do whatever it wants. And,
Michael, is that the famous Tibetan log meditation where you just sit on the bank of the river and watch your thoughts come by?
I haven't heard that one. By the way, there is a meditation on your mind. There is a meditation on the nature of your mind, and that's Mahamudra. And we won't go into that. There is such a meditation. But that's different from, that's a meditation in which you seek to see the emptiness of your mind. But just watching your mind, watch the thoughts go flop, don't try to control them, just let them go by. Just loosen up and be natural. He says, mistake, that's not meditation. You know. And it's interesting. And there are times when it seems to be useful. I mean, it's not unuseful completely. You can track your own tendencies. But what he's saying is, in Tibet it happened that people who had already reached this high stage, they had already reached through the first four problems, that some master who had already reached this fifth stage said, the best meditation is cruising. And somebody who hadn't reached the first stage heard it and said, hey, the best meditation is cruising. Everybody cruise, you know. Don't do anything. And that's exactly what it says in the Tibetan. It says, unfortunately, people who hadn't reached even the first problem thought, well, it's time for me to stop doing anything. You know, they jumped to the fifth, the eighth solution before they had the first problem. You see?
So you should experience the others before.
You will. Yeah, and that's the purpose of studying meditation. You know, you would think that in a meditation course we should just flop down and meditate.
Because I've heard in some meditations, like insight meditations, where you sit there and just see what comes up.
There are countless meditations that people are teaching nowadays. I mean, someone gave me this magazine, you know. Where is it? You know, you can go through the back of one of these Dharma magazines and see all sorts of stuff. I can't vouch for the usefulness or non-usefulness. It's not classical Buddhism. It hasn't been taught in the original text that I'm aware of, and I've read many.
Like the Vipassana meditation?
I don't know what they do. But if it's sitting down and just...
Watching your breath.
Watching your breath has a function of dysfunction, bringing your mind down after it's too excited, or preparing your mind for a virtuous object. But in by itself, it's not a virtuous object. So it's very useful. It's taught in the Abhidhamma Kosha. It comes from the Abhidhamma Kosha. Vipassana meditation came from Burma, from Goenkaji, and he studied Abhidhamma in Burma, and it's good. But its function is a preliminary to deeper meditation, and Goenka teaches it that way.
So really, all the meditations we're learning, when we've just gone through the five problems, before that even, is meditation on the breath.
Yeah. Because then you're going to shift to the real object.
To an object.
Breath is neutral. Breath, if you drive a car, breath is to get the car into neutral. Like if you ever drove a car, you drive out, you're back out of your garage, and you jam it into forward.
Yeah.
You have to stop first, put it in neutral, and then put it in forward, and that's the function.
So is the idea then to replace the discursive thoughts with one point concentration on your breath to displace discursive thoughts?
Your object of meditation could be discursive thoughts. Going through the outline of the Lam Rim is discursive thinking.
No, I mean just random thoughts coming into your head.
Then distinguish between random and discursive.
Okay, random thoughts. Yeah.
Discursive means this is this is that, okay. This is that, just this comes
yeah, random.
That's okay. Random means, you know, what am I going to do for breakfast?
Right.
Maybe pancakes, maybe not.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Then so you should bring it back to the breath.
So then, is that the object of
all this stuff? It's to get your mind out of your daily office mind or out of your sleep mind and get it prepared to put it onto a virtuous object. And this kind of breathing meditation, which is also counting your breath, is a drastic action to take when your mind is wandering too much, and it's not desirable. If you don't have to do it, that's better, because what it means is pretty much, it's the equivalent of getting up and throwing water on your face.
So what you're, from my understanding, you're saying you have to do both at different times.
Yeah, two different things.
But you're doing the same mechanics.
The same mechanics, yeah.
Different
mechanics. Counting your breath for two different purposes. But I've never seen, and I would logically think, that it would be virtuous over a long period of time to focus your mind on your breath for the purpose of focusing your mind on your breath. Because your breath is impermanent. It's going to stop someday. It's not a virtuous object per se. Better to focus it on emptiness. Better to focus it on your death, the virtues of the Buddha, the Buddha's body. Your own breath is not a virtuous object. It won't have any lasting effect on your consciousness. It's good, and you should. It's very, very wonderful. You should get to where you can count to 10, or even Pabonga says 21, perfectly, and then shift it to something meaningful. You know, that's the, and it's a good thermometer of your mental state, whether you can get to 10 or not. If you can't get to 10, maybe you it's not going to work too well to shift to another object. Okay.
Homework
6, right? Next week, what? Next class. By the way,
don't we have 9 states?
Yeah. What are the states that you go through if you're successful in like the first antidote? What point do you reach? There's no class on
Monday.
Meditation Monday. That's okay. I don't say it's wrong, but I say if you can do it in the morning.
Sāshī bhūrgī jūshī mētā jāṁ Vīrā vīnshī nyamdē yampādī Sāṅgē shindhū mītē uvāgī Jokū nāmbā shimbā jūpā Yeah.